Good morning, folks. Welcome back to the podcast, the Evil Dungeon Master Universe podcast. I am your host, Evil Dungeon Master Vince. And I just want to start off by saying thank you again for the people that listen to the show and comment to me and comment on YouTube and like the videos. They do rather well, and I'm very happy about that. And the subscribers on YouTube are going up for the daily podcast as well. You can head over to Spotify so you can grab these, or go to anchor.fm/evildm. Ask me a question at askthedm @theevildm.com, facebook.com/theevildungeonmaster, and theevildm.com is my website. So today I was flipping through the AD&D Player's Handbook again, looking for a topic to talk about, because a lot of people like Advanced Dungeons & Dragons and talking about that, but there was something that stood out to me that I never really noticed in the Player's Handbook. And that was talking about communication and negotiation. Now, as a DM, I like to role play. I would rather have a player come up with an interesting way to get out of a situation than just use their fists. For example, in my campaign, my fantasy campaign right now for Palladium, we had these giant pterodactyls that surrounded one of the players, one of the player characters, and he was pretty much going to get eaten, more than likely, because he decided to walk on his own. And one of the other characters, she was controlling her character and brought her character, she was following him because she thought there was something wrong because he went on his own. She figured might as well back him up or something like that, which was a smart idea because it saved his ass. She did a comprehend languages type spell for Palladium, and she was able to speak to the pterodactyls and found out that the player characters were invading their nest area. So she explained to them that they were just passing through, they meant no harm, and they were not going to touch the nest or, you know, or the eggs or anything. There was no interest in that. They were just passing through on the road and wanted to go forward. The pterodactyls, taken aback, wondering how this person is speaking to them. They are low intelligence, but intelligence enough that they communicate, because birds do communicate between one another. So she was speaking the bird language. And I decided to roll with that because I didn't even think that they would do that. I figured she would come over and start fighting and call the rest of the party over and start fighting. But she used comprehend languages and role-played it out and promised that nothing would touch the nest. So the birds watched them easily walk by and nothing happened. So they saved asses. So on page, page 104 of the original cover of the idol, when the characters are climbing at AD&D Player's Handbook, so it has communication and negotiation. So in order to determine the intent of a possible friendly or neutral monster, or to pass along your intentions or desires, some form of communication is necessary. Speech might do for the human types, as the common tongue is known by most. But what of an encounter with a giant blink dogs or dozens of similar creatures? An open and raised right hand is possible, and simply refraining from hostile moves will possibly allow for further exchange. Remember, though, that you cannot bribe a band of ogres to allow you to pass through unless you can communicate clearly. Never noticed that paragraph. Below it, it even has negotiation. Most DMs love communication and negotiation. This allows for them to assume an active role in actual play. Your referee will assume the persona proper to the creature, your party is dealing with. Be it shy and hostile, stupid, greedy, helpful, misinformed, or whatever. Intelligent monsters will always balance the offer versus the expectation. A lone ogre is likely to even with is rather dim wit to recognize that a strong party will kill him if he attacks or demands too much. So a small bribe is better than a risky combat to get flesh to eat and pretty babbles to have. On the other hand, weakness will be exploited by any basically hostile monster unless it seems certain that more can be gained by other action. Be resigned to pay amounts in excess of the actual value received. As a player, you must earn what you gain. Negotiation usually gives you a chance to get on with the earning process or to live to come back and fight another day. That's a key sentence right there. Always be wary and use your wits. Look at all the facets of the situation and then use your best judgment accordingly. In many cases, a payment, a bribe, a toll, a share, or a ransom fee will enable success or survival, and negotiation is a useful tool in the expert adventurer. So even Gygax, when writing this book, is saying that the option of bribing and sneaking past and, you know, using your wits instead of fighting. I've done that as a player. One time I was in a campaign and I was playing an assassin. I was undercover as a merchant. I'm doing that in quotes. I was lawful evil. The DM only would allow lawful evil for an assassin, but what I did, we were confronted with some gnolls. I spoke to the gnolls, and I said to them I would pay them a certain amount of gold if they walked out of the room and left. And they did. They took the gold because they knew gold was worth more than fighting a party of six people versus the four of them, even though they probably could have taken us. We were only level one, so... But it's just an example that you can put situations in front of your DM that's just not automatically just hack and slash and fighting and fighting. So always try to work with your players, and negotiation is definitely a interesting tactic. I like the fact that it has that when Gygax listed a open right hand raised up, kind of like a, I'm just here to talk, like a hi, but will creatures of intelligence, even low intelligence, will they recognize the hand, open hand up as a way of being, I guess, subdued or non-combative? It really depends. I mean, you have to think about that. Would a wild dog has low intelligence. Now, you can't talk to a wild dog unless you do some type of comprehend languages, which I would allow because it's inventive. Would a kobold know that? Or would an orc understand that? Possibly. It really depends on their society and how you think about what they've lived through. I mean, you don't have to put too much thought into it. You would think that, you know, an orc society or a kobold society or even a gnoll society would have observed how humans or dwarves or elves interact with one another, or humanoids, I should say, interact with one another, and they would probably pick up on the open hand gesture in front of them. Now, will they accept it? Probably not. A lot of times creatures, and I know we've done it, I've played many campaigns where I've tried to talk to various creatures, and then they'll just mostly just say, we want to kill you. So it really depends on your DM and how far they want to take it. And me, I like to role play. So I know if a player comes up with an inventive way to get out of a situation that has nothing to do with combat, I'm for it. I like to role play. And like I said, with the pterodactyl incident and the player doing the equivalent of comprehend languages and talking to pterodactyl, that was perfect. Can't get any better than that situation. And she got rewarded extra experience points for getting out of a situation of combat, because in Palladium you get more experience points overall for non-combative situations. That when they designed the system, I guess Kevin Sambedia wanted to focus more on players using their wits and skills and abilities more than just using a sword. It even says it in the experience chart that you still get. You get experience for obviously fighting and combat. You get less experience for combat. You get more experience for negotiating, saving, and using skills than anything else. So I would definitely give extra experience points for this. And it's just interesting that they had these two paragraphs here and I've never actually seen them. There's a lot of stuff that are in these books that I just kind of forget about or blow by and never realize that they're there. And they're just little tidbits of gold that it's even in the player's book. So it's not like it's in the DM book and, you know, you're a player. You're never really a DM, so you're not really reading it. I don't know. I found that interesting today. I figured I wanted to share that story with you and share this information and give you some ideas how you can use negotiation and communication in combat. And tell me what you do inside your games. Do you allow player characters to talk their way out of situations like this? Or are you just kind of, this is combat. This is how it's going to work. We don't care if you can talk or not. I'm just curious. I mean, everyone has their own different style of DMing these days. Or these days, any days. So I'm just interested. I like hearing other people's stories. And yeah, I do like hearing about other people's games. I know a lot of people are like, oh, I hate the story of your character doing this or that. No, I like hearing about those stories. To me, it's entertaining. And it's also a way for me to steal ideas. Your character went through the situation? That's an idea I can throw in my campaign. I mean, that's the whole point of a lot of podcasts that you listen to. You listen to because you want to learn something, you want to get ideas, and this is a way to get ideas. So hopefully I've given you something to think about, chew on, so I'm going to head out. With that said, don't forget to like, subscribe, comment. If you're on Spotify, don't forget to follow. Give me some 5-star reviews as well. And keep it original, keep it old school. Good night, and God bless everybody.